to reveal those things that we had not seen, heard, or even dreamed about. Jesus, thank you as always for putting us in this position by your death and your shedding of your blood and your resurrection and presenting yourself to the Father on our behalf. We're grateful, and we want to live up to your standards. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, turn with me to chapter 7 in your book, The Lives of Honorable Men. The first part of our time together, we were kind of establishing ground rules and establishing why covenant is important. We begin to talk about how working together, the power of synergy, power of communication, power of strategy. So tonight, we're actually going to start digging into a covenant and what it is. As I said before earlier in this class, we have always been understanding, we've done a great study on understanding covenant when it comes between us and God. But we have rarely or not at all even studied or even understood or even attempted to grab hold of covenant between man. Covenant between man is just as important to God as it is between him and man. That's how God gets things done in earth realm, is because of covenant between men. So we're going to begin to define covenant tonight. It's a long definition, but this is a great definition. The author gave us in the very first statement in chapter 7. A covenant is defined as a declaration of an oath of allegiance through an agreed document with a fixity of law and absolute with a view to implement a system of sanctions to provide social continuity and government through elected representatives for accurate implementation of the said process. Now, you can read that again in your book. I would suggest you highlight it. A covenant is a declaration of an oath of allegiance. It is verbal and is intentionalized to those who agree on the core values and absolutes. There is a set value, purpose, destiny, or intention that the parties involved agree to work together to fulfill. Now, a covenant, watch this, is governed, according to the book, by the fixity of law and absolutes. It is not a careless getting together or a casual coming together. So that's going to change the kind of things we teach. All right, it's going to change the feeling. It's going to change the connotation of the church and how we perceive church. Remember now, I begin to talk about how we have to change the way we think about coming to church, how we think about dealing with each other. It's no longer about us. I'm not coming to church so I can get my problem fixed. I know it started out that way. But then I realized that when I took the focus off of myself and put it on God the Father, that means He puts His focus on me. And He's going to take care of problems that I can't take care of anyway. Are you seeing this? So now, when I come to church, I'm expecting to see people that I am in covenant with. People that God has joined me to so that we can accomplish some agreed agenda. We can accomplish things that God has ordained for us to accomplish. Right? It's not a careless coming together. In other words, I don't take coming to church or coming to where God has placed you, being taken lightly. At any moment, God could be speaking through your man or woman of God to you. So you can't take it lightly. You can't take it as ritual. Now, watch this. What is tradition? The Bible says the tradition of men have made the word of God of no effect. Right? That's what it says. Listen to this now. What is a tradition? Because all traditions are all, let me say it like this, all repetitive behaviors are not bad. It's just the ones that become a tradition of man. What is a tradition of man? Anything that we do repetitively, and we lose God's objective of why we're doing it. I'm going to say that definition again. What is tradition? Tradition of men. Tradition of men is anything we do repetitively, and we lose God's objective of why we're doing it. But I'm talking to dealing with one tradition right now that man has taken for granted, and it's the taking of communion. I'll come out of the Baptist church. So, I'm not going to do the Baptist, but you know, we will come to communion Sunday. And we won't sing Saturday night. Because it has become a tradition of man, even though Jesus said, take you, do it as often as you want, do it as often as you want. But the problem is we've lost his objective of why we're doing it. Yeah, you see this? So on the whole point of the thing is we can't do a repetitive behavior. Coming to church on Sunday, coming to feed on the Word, studying the Word of God, praying, spending time with God. You can't just spend time with God, you can get up and say, oh, I spent time with him. So now I can go on with my day. It should be, God, I'm spending time with you because I can't go on for the rest of my day without you being there. You see the difference? See, I need to have that every day in my life. I need to have that. I can't go days without talking to God. I can't go days without studying the Word of God because I need it to carry out my carry out the process of life. I live by faith. So I do it repetitively, but I do not lose God's objective of why I'm spending time with Him. So coming to church cannot become a tradition of men. Spending time with God cannot become a tradition of men. Serving cannot become a tradition of men. I cannot lose God's objective of why I'm doing this. Are you seeing this? There are rules of engagement, both set and progressive, that is established on the journey to fulfill the agreed purpose. It also provides, for my covenant, it also provides the protection and security that the parties will be honorable and accountable to each other. Accountable is the state of being firmly attached to someone. This is my favorite statement out of the whole book. Favorite statement. A covenant will quicken the relationship until it bears the fruit of its purpose. A covenant, watch this. A covenant of honor, watch this. A covenant will quicken the relationship until it bears the fruit of its purpose. It quickens the relationship. The relationship is the connection. The covenant brings it alive so that it can accomplish what each party was designed to accomplish. So, in other words, a covenant gives life to relationships. You can be connected to somebody, but if there's no covenant, there'll be no life. But if you can be connected to somebody, but if there's no, I'm going to put it like this. You locking yourself to a person and you're throwing away the key. Which means now, each party understands that I got somebody that's going to walk through this with me. One of the key words to covenant is loyalty. I hold loyalty, this is my personal preference. I hold loyalty higher than I hold integrity. I think both of them are important, but I hold loyalty higher than integrity. Why do you say that? I don't like it when you hit me when things are good. And if I make a mistake, you win. Are you saying this? See, I hold loyalty. They got plenty of people that have integrity, but they're not loyal. I'm much rather loyalty than integrity, because loyalty allows you to stick with somebody through thick and thin. Do you realize once God joins you to somebody, this is covenant now,
the only way to separate, there's only two reasons to separate from a covenant that God has assigned the two. There's only two reasons. And there's no other reason but these two reasons. One is death. One is death. And the other is if one person in the planet walks away from God. That's the only two reasons. There are no other excuses to walk away from a covenant. No other reason. And so now you see how much God values covenant. How much God appreciates covenant. Because once you hear how God thinks about covenant. God cut a covenant with Abram. Watch this, because he needed somebody in earth realm to obey him, to open the door for him to bring Jesus in. So now God is saying, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay faithful. God is faithful. I'm going to stay faithful until I can get man out of this hole. God had to go through a whole Old Testament of foolishness. He had to go through getting people delivered. They're getting back in bondage again. Getting people delivered. They're getting back in bondage again. Getting people delivered. They're getting back in bondage again. People don't reject it. Because they want the honor that they want to retain. They don't want to take his laws anymore. They want God to give back the honor. I'm here with these people. I'm going to give them a king. Now, when I do this thing, these things are going to happen. They're going to come get your sons. They're going to get the dollars of service. They're going to take your lands. They're going to tax you. The best thing you want, I'll do that with you, but I'm going to be here with you. Oh, you see this? So you see, God expects that out of us with each other. That's why the culture of honor is so important. That's why it's so important. Because we have to look at each other and look beyond our faults. Look beyond our differences. Look beyond this person and that person because we come from different backgrounds. We don't all speak the same. But here's the one thing that we have in common, that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Father, and we love the Holy Spirit. So between those three, I think they can cause a connection, they can cause a synergy, they can cause a working together that would be beneficial to both parties. Are you seeing this? It will quicken the relationship until it bears the fruit of its purpose. Now watch this, sometimes external representatives are given the authority to keep the fact of the covenant in its accurate path towards the fulfillment that is spoken of his destiny. Now watch this. This is the reason why God created the government. God created the government, his government, so that order can be kept so that everybody can walk in covenant. See, when there's no order, chaos ensues. And when chaos is there, nothing is accomplished. Nobody can get anything done. Everybody for themselves. And therefore, not only God's will doesn't get done, but we don't accomplish anything. So the purpose of his government, the purpose of him putting apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists in the body of Christ is for the perfecting of the saints, the maturity of the saints. Are you seeing this? So watch this. Can we all come in the unity of the faith? The government is in place to help us to overlook these covenants. Is that making sense? See, this is why you can't come into a covenant with your own ideas of how you want things done. You have to come into a covenant with the idea of God, I'm willing to adjust to whatever you want done. When both parties are adjusting to whatever God wants done, God is perfect in all his ways. He's not going to make hell one side of the planet do something that's not going to benefit you. And I'm going to tell you to do something that's not going to benefit the other party. If God is the umpire of the covenant, everybody's going to come out on top. Is that making sense? Actually, we're going to get into some accurate principles of covenant. Now, the example we're going to use for this is one of the most powerful covenants between man that you will see. Now, we're going to talk about the significance of some choices that were made between these two. We're going to see how sometimes covenant will override physical relationships. We're going to see these things because the covenant between Jonathan and David is a covenant, a powerful covenant that's a great example of what God expects out of us. Turn over to 1 Samuel 18 chapter. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, what's the significance of this? The significance of this statement is when Jonathan heard David speak, listen now, when Jonathan heard David speak, he did not hear David's voice. He recognized there was something on David that wasn't on anybody else around. Are you seeing this? So watch this. Jonathan immediately made up in his own mind that I'm going to connect with David. Watch what it says. It says, and the soul of Jonathan. Soul, meaning his mindset. Sometimes the word soul is interchangeable with the heart, meaning his whole being became knitted to David. Are you seeing this? And it became, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go home, wouldn't let him go nor home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Watch this. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now, wait a minute now. What's the significance of this? Jonathan is Saul's son. According to the natural, the rightful heir to the throne. But when Jonathan seen or heard David's voice and seen him, listen to that, and seen him, he recognized that the hand of the Lord was upon David. And so he took off his robe. What does the signification of? He's taken off his heirship and given it to David. When he took off his robe, he took off his robe, and gave it to David. Are you seeing this? He was willing to give up because he knew the hand of the Lord was on David. He was willing to give up his throne so that God's will can be accomplished. Jonathan was willing to give up his own selfish motive, even that which was right to him, so that God's will could be accomplished. Are you seeing this? Watch this. He said, and he gave to David his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. In other words, he said, I'm giving you my protection. I'm giving you everything I have. I'm committing to this covenant relationship. what I have, you have. It's no longer just me. It's now us. However I can help you accomplish the will of God, I'm willing to do it. Are you seeing that? Number one, their hearts were connected through the frequency of the Spirit. This is, once again, this cannot be done in the natural. Cannot be done in the natural. Pre-covenant, the hearts of men are connected by word and spirit expression. These words resonate in each other's heart and are present. Their hearts take the intensity of the frequency and align almost instantaneously. Are you seeing this? Number two, knowing true affection, love, and care for the person. We're going to get into this later on, but I'm gathering it now because when we get to the next chapter, we're going to deal with this in depth because I'm going to kill a sacred child that we in the body of Christ have. A peace statement we like to make. I want to serve so I can get your anointing. Wait a minute now. I got a problem with that statement. So you only with me so you can get the anointing that's on my life. You don't really care why I'm anointed the way I'm anointed. Are you seeing this? Knowing the true affection, love, and care for the person. We cannot be in covenant with someone unless we feel genuine love, care, and acceptance. Acceptance. Jonathan loved David as himself. He desired all things for David as he would want for himself. The power to love others as ourselves requires a conscious effort to want to share the best with someone we love. Number three, covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Saul is manipulative. Verse 2. Saul saw what was on David. How do you know what was on David? Because David would come in and begin to play the harp and begin to chase the evil spirits off of him. So he knew the hand of God was on David. The hand of God that he wanted on him. He didn't have the hand of God on him like David had on him. He wanted it. Now, here's what covenant says. Covenant says this. All he had to do was speak and treat David. There's a covenant with David, and he would have access to that grace. But he wanted to dominate. So he didn't even let the man go home to his daddy. Because he wanted to manipulate David and abuse the anointing. Are you seeing this? So covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Jonathan, on the other hand, Saul's son, used his relationship with David to have an outpouring of affection for David. Every action, I'm giving you David, I want you to have this. David, I want you to have this. Now, I got to remind you, David is away from his home, away from his secure place. And here it is, Jonathan began to make his place his. Are you seeing this? Number four, covenant needs two parties in total commitment to work together. Only 3:3. And we can't change versions because can't work together unless they all agree. Jonathan and David made a covenant with each other and renewed it in the times of trials and testing. See, you don't know if you're in covenant with somebody until the trial comes. That's why, you know, we started, you know, Word of Faith, we started watching our words, started watching what we say, which is important, but we started watching them too much, because some things need to be said. Like, for instance, the marriage vows and the marriage vows that don't do us better should be in there, but we were the first, we took it out because we didn't want to make no bad confessions. but we put them back in. Because we see too many people that when times get tough, it's like a football player, let it break. No covenant. Covenant is at its best in trials. Covenant is at its best when things are not going right. When we're in battle. Not defeated, but when we're in battle. Covenant means nothing. Covenant don't even, covenant ain't really necessarily good time because everything, you don't need nobody. Everything going good. But when trials and tests come up, that's when covenant is important. Number five. This is my favorite one. Covenant is important because the spirit of sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice nothing, don't come into covenant with nobody. And sacrifice means not this. Sacrifice, not this. Sacrifice stuff that's valuable to you. That's something that don't mean nothing to you. That ain't sacrifice. You weren't using it no way. You weren't bothered with that no way. Is when you're willing to sacrifice, have a spirit of sacrifice. Listen, Joseph had a spirit of sacrifice. Are you kidding me? This man gave up the throne because he saw that God's hand was upon David. And he began to see the bigger picture that was bigger than him. Do y'all start to see why I dealt with pride and ego so much? Because pride and ego could have bad jobs and say, well, I don't care who hand the law up on, I'm Saul's son. I'm the one supposed to be king. Why ain't put his hand on me? Are you seeing this? Covenant is not a give and take relationship. It's powerful. But it is a give and wait to receive relationship. Now, that's going to take a lot of digest. But this is why you can't just come into covenant with anybody. You can't just come. See, remember now, this is not a careless coming together. It is very methodical. It is very purposeful. It has been agreed upon. It's rules of engagement. So you have to be able to check out the other party for a while. Because watch this, when you come into covenant, it's a lock and throw away the key. I'm with you to the end. The only thing that separates us now is if you walk away from God and run out of God, that's it. I ain't going nowhere. So when you have that situation, you must also understand that it's not a give and take relationship. It is a give and I'm going to wait to receive. I'm getting ahead of myself, but Jonathan's son received favor because of what Jonathan did. He received favor because of what the covenant Jonathan had cut. The covenant was so strong that it went through generations. David said, there's anybody in Saul's house that I can honor. And when the folks came to him and said, Jonathan, you got a grandson. And Jonathan was in Mephibosheth. He's crippled. And David found him. And because he was going to have to live with him for his life. I thought he could sit in the table. Because of covenant. So to give and wait to receive. This is what the scripture makes the scripture very powerful now. Galatians 6 and 7. Turn there. This scripture can only be powerful in covenant. It cannot be powerful when you're trying to do it for your own selfish motive. This scripture is only powerful in covenant. Galatians 6 and 7. It says, look, God is not mocked. So whatever a man said,
that shall they also reap. Are you seeing this? See, it's a give and wait to receive. It's a give, and I'm willing to allow God to reward me. I'm not looking for the other person to do something for me. I don't want them doing them for me. They're limited. I want God to do for me. So I'm going to do what God is telling me to do in this relationship, and then I'm going to wait for God manifest it for me. That's not easy. You can't do this in the natural. But you can't do this with world system thinking. 2 Corinthians 5:17. What's going on there? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What happened? What happened? All things, that word is translated meaning all habits, all thought patterns, all way of doing things, your all understanding of covenant, your all understanding of relationship, all those are passed away. What it says? All things have become new. That word things is different than that one. This is a matter of thought. A way of behaving, a manner, becomes new. So now, what makes covenant hard for people is they're trying to take world system thinking, their world way of thinking, and how you've been hurt in the past, and how this person messed over you, how this person did you right, and you kind of bring that into covenant. You can't do it. You're going to have to release all those things and say, God, I'm trusting you. It can't be done in the natural. It's going to have to be done in the supernatural. Because when you start talking about, I'm going to do something to somebody, and I ain't sticking nothing back. Because the world's going to say, if I do for you, if you scratch my back, if I raise your hand, but that ain't how God operates. So it's not going to be done in the natural. That's it. Jonathan surrendered to future destiny, including the right to the throne. Spirit of sacrifice. David was sore and became defenseless. David is now responsible for protecting his life. So this is not one side. This is not one side. When he gave David a sword, because David didn't have a sword, but the sword in David's hand is more effective than it is in his. Now David's not responsible for David's life, but he's now responsible for Jonathan's life. Are you seeing this? He gave his daughter, his mother. Now David must rise to meet his needs. Number 6, John. A few more minutes, we'll be done. Covenant paves the way for each other to come into the fulfillment of God's destiny for our lives. So, it is impossible for me to reach my destiny without being in covenant. It is impossible for you to reach your full potential in what God has called you to do without coming into covenant with somebody else. It is impossible. Jesus himself couldn't do it. Jesus needed Mary. Yeah. Jesus needed the 12 disciples, who eventually became the apostles, who were the ones that were the structured document, structured doctrine? Heaven, earth, government. They were the ones that was going to, 12 men were the ones that was going to disperse the good news to everybody else. Jesus couldn't do it. He had to be in covenant. Jesus said, I must go so the Holy Spirit can come. That's covenant. Jesus said, if I stay here, he's not going to come, but I got to go so that he can come. So if Jesus did what he was supposed to do and then left off the scene so the Holy Spirit can come do what he was designed to do. Are you seeing this? You will not fulfill your destiny without coming into covenant. David wasn't going to be able to fulfill his destiny without yielding to Jonathan's help. Is this making sense? Jonathan was the one that actually protected David from his father. Jonathan protected David from Saul. That's a powerful covenant. But when a man is willing to turn his back on his father, then he had right to die. There's two reasons why you walk away from covenant. Either by death, one by the God, or one walks away from God. Saul walks away from God. Now, does that make sense? Why Jonathan did what he did? Covenant relationship enhances our pursuit towards destiny. Joseph ain't really had too much to do with the birth of Jesus. But he provided security protection to Mary so that Jesus could be born. Mary couldn't fulfill her destiny if Joseph wasn't there. Can you imagine the fight Joseph had to go through? Because here they are, ain't no covenant between them until Mary turned up pregnant. And Joseph said, I ain't touching. Can you imagine the pride and ego that he did not have? Because there was some heavy laws during that time about being given it out of wedlock. Number seven, this is key. Any deficiency in our present covenant relationship can manifest in the next generation. So, in other words, when you come in a covenant, you're going to be all in. You're going to be all in. Because anything you have back can serve in your next generation. See, the law of Galatians 6 and 7 is very serious. I don't play with this law. Now, I do not play this law. This law is on the forefront of my mind every day. I do not play. This is the law that keeps me from getting offended. This is the law that keeps me from mistreating people. This is the law that causes me to when I'm in covenant, I'm giving everything I have. Because I don't want to be saying I left something out on the floor for my children. So it has to be, I'm all in. It can't be just, I'm in, but I ain't so. You should find that out before you step in. So remember that covenant is not a careless coming together of people. It is very methodical, it is very purposeful, and there are a group of engagement, it's a picture of love. The same thing is just carelessly be. So when you step in the covenant, you got to bring everything in. Thank you. Go to 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter.
First Samuel 22.
And the prophet Gad said to David, "Abide not in the hole. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah." And David departed and came into the forest of Halah. This is after, First Samuel 22 and 5. And the prophet Gad said to David, "Abide not in the hole. Depart and get thee in the hand of Judah." Then David departed and came into the forest of Halah. Now, this is David when he's trying to get away from Saul. Watch this. Jonathan gave David his robe, gave David his gold, sword, gave David all that, but he didn't give David his shoes. He had everything, but they gave him his shoes. And he showed up in the Philistine, born crippled. Are you seeing this? It's important. Covenant is nothing to play with. It's very serious. When you come into covenant, you come with everything. You have to come with it all. But watch this. Here's what I love about the mercy of God. When your heart is right, because I know Jonathan's heart was right. Jonathan's heart was right because the Bible says he loved David as his own soul. He was the one that helped David escape. So what I love about God's mercy is that when we do make a mistake, God covers us. Watch this. When you have to... Prime example. It's amazing to me how, and we're going to close here. It's amazing to me how we as Christians, we have a tendency to crucify our own that make mistakes. But we turn around the same breath and preach about David. And we quickly say, we quickly read the scripture, David was a man after God's own heart. Right? But it's the same man that stayed home from battle when he should have been there, leading his friend, stayed home, stayed in another man's day, stood up with a man's wife, did a business, didn't know what to do, killed a man, did a prayer for the God had to come down on the carpet. But watch this. David said, "Lord, created me a clean heart." The Bible says David's heart was perfect toward God. It didn't mean that he was perfect, but his heart was. So God's mercy was able to cover. So Jonathan is trying to position his heart was perfect toward David and toward God and what God wanted to do. So he left out the shoes, his son born crippled. David, that's it. Go to 2 Samuel 9. We call it right here. And make people get into the accurate mental attitude of covenant. 2 Samuel 9. Second Samuel, the 9th chapter. Verse 1. And David said, Is there yet anyone left in the house of Saul that I must show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? For whose sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called unto him, David the king said to him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." The king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has yet a son with his name on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, and Lodabar. Then David, that's another whole lesson. Then the king David sent and sent him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Mephibosheth, the son of John, the son of Saul, was coming to David. He turned his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." David said, I fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. So here it is, God. Jonathan, half perfect toward God, did forget to give David a tomb. Satan tried to take advantage of it. He was supposed to be crippled. But now, David, because of covenant, said, is anybody in house Saul to honor because of Jonathan's faith? Found the Philistines and said, hey, I'm going to give you all the lands of your grandfather, and you'll eat at my table continually. You ain't got to work no more. So your crippleness is no longer a handicap to you. That's God's mercy. Covenant is a powerful thing. Covenant is a very powerful thing. Very powerful. And so, we have to understand these seven things. I'm going to go one more time and we close. And we're going to start with the accurate attitude, accurate mental attitude of covenant next week. One, hearts are connected through the frequency of the Spirit. Two, knowing true affection, love, and care for the person. Three, covenant is not selfish or manipulative. Four, covenant means two parties and total commitment, and total commitment, and total commitment to work together. Covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice. Covenant paves the way for each other to come into the fulfillment of God's destiny for our lives. And number seven, any deficiency in our present covenant relationship can manifest in the next generation. So I can't have, I can't leave it back. When I go to prison, I gotta bring everything in. I gotta bring all my talents, all my intelligence, all my gifting, all my graces. I'm not leaving anything out. I'm bringing it all in. Are you seeing this? So next week, we continue with the accurate mental attitude of covenant. This chapter is gonna be very powerful. It's gonna change some things in your life. It's gonna change the way you think. It's going to change the way you deal with people. You're going to find out some people you thought you were in covenant with, you're not really in covenant with. Maybe because you might not have any problem in covenant, or because you never were supposed to be in covenant with them in the first place. So we're going to learn these things. Y'all have a good evening.